Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad y'all are here. For those that I haven't met and don't know, my name is Gail Hatcher. I'm the Women's Ministries Coordinator here at the church. I should have a name tag on, but it fell off somewhere in the building last week, and I still can't find it and keep forgetting to tell security to make me a new one. But I am legit because I still have my staff badge on, my staff lanyard on. I'm so excited that Vicki's coming to speak to y'all this morning. As you know, she's the leader of our Moms Connect Little Years ministry, and she has been such a huge blessing to women's ministry when she came forward saying that she really had a heart for this season of motherhood. Vicki has three grown children, so she has parented for the long haul, and I know she's going to be a great encouragement to y'all. In the midst of being in the church as a profession now, as my career, I guess, ministry, I am downstairs on the hall with all the little ones and the younger ones in the school, kindergarten and pre-first. And I want you to know at this season of my life, it is such joy to see those kids. I recognize things that I think I missed when my kids were little and I was chasing them. I was in the bathroom last week and three kindergarten girls came in and they looked at me and they went, "We're going to the potty because we're going to recess because we're in school now." I was like, it's so exciting. I'm so excited for y'all. I know. And then they just ran in the stall and went to the bathroom, and their lives were made fresh because they were in kindergarten and they were going to recess. So anyway, try not to miss those moments in your kid's life because it's fun and it's sweet. Here's Vicki. She will continue introducing herself and I think show you family pictures.
I have some family pictures. I'm so glad to be here today, and I honestly don't ever like to be up here by myself. So I'm just praying that God will speak through me and it will be his message to you and not mine. But anyway, I am Vicki Day, and I wanted to introduce you to my family because I always like to see people's families. So hold on, I'm going to learn how to do this. This is my family. We went to Israel last summer as a family, and it was an amazing trip. So I'm going to start from left to right. On the left is Zach, my middle son, and his pretty wife, my new daughter-in-law, Carter, and she's here. What a sweet daughter-in-law to be here. So they've been married a little bit over a year, and then me, and then my youngest is Courtney, and she's 24. My husband's Peyton. We've been married for 30 years, and my oldest is Austin on the right, and he's 28 years old. So I've been doing this for quite a long time now, and this is just us. I wanted to show you a relaxed, fun picture. We were just all in the hotel room just hanging out. Carter was leaving a little bit early, and we were just kind of laying around having fun and loving on Carter. But I want you to see that I have been where you are. And here they are as little ones. Obviously at Halloween. But I have been where you are. And God has given me perspective over the years. I have a heart for young moms because I know that it is the hardest job in the world. And I honestly believe that it's 24/7. You never get a break, and it can get really lonely. So that's why we developed Moms Connect, because I believe more than at any other time, young moms need each other. Just to know that you're not by yourself and that you're going through things that somebody else is. So I pray, and we all do, that Moms Connect can be a safe place for y'all to come and share ideas and talk and really create community here. So anyway, what I'm going to talk about today is parenting for the long haul. Let me get my kids off of here. And I'm going to do it in three segments, and I am not lecturing. Most of today, you're going to be kind of going through some stuff and thinking through some things yourself and around your tables. So parenting for the long haul. And it's going to be in three segments. The here and now, right where you are in the weeds of little ones. That's going to be the first thing that we're going to focus on. And then we're going to focus on parenting for the long haul. And I'm talking to the end of your life. And I'm kind of in the middle or probably a little bit closer away from the middle of that? And then how do we get from here to there? Because don't you, when you're learning something and when you're trying to accomplish a goal, and I don't necessarily love that word, or a dream, if we're not focused on what that dream is, we kind of just focus on the fire, putting out the fires, or what's right in our face at that point. So I want today, in the end point, is for you to focus on what you want for your family, your children, at the end of your life. So first of all, what I want you to do, and I want to say this. So today's going to be very broad. Like, I'm just going to do a very broad overview of mothering, because for the rest of the year, all the speakers are going to hit the details. So today is just, I want you to get a broad view and a long view of what your end point is. So first of all, what I want you to do, you should each have a handout on your table. There are a few handouts, but one of them that you're going to fill out. And it is, what do you, answer the first two questions. What do you want to accomplish today? And I know as young moms, it may be getting a shower or making up a bed. I mean, I get that. So I want you to write that down, though. What do you want to get accomplished today? Just one thing. And then number two, what would you like to accomplish this year? Either yourself personally or spiritually or for your family or what you're teaching your children. And I know there's a lot that you want to accomplish this year, but just write three down. So take a few minutes and do that. And then when it looks like everyone at your tables are finished, go around your tables, introduce yourselves, and then talk about what you wrote down. And I'll reconvene us in about 10 minutes. Okay. Let's talk about it a little bit. So let's have a conversation. Hello. Let's go ahead and tell me some of the things you want to get done today, just out loud. Laundry. Clean groceries. Dry cleaning. I mean, it's just, we have a lot of stuff to do. Okay, what about... But at the end of the year, what are your dreams? What did you say? Get pregnant again? All right. What else? Self-care. Yeah. Yeah, define that time. Anybody else? Yeah, getting better at asking for help. I'm repeating just so it's on the recording. Wow. It is. I mean, I have a hard time asking for help. I get that. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's real. Growing back into intimacy with a husband. That is real. You've got kids pulling on you all day long, and that part of you just feels foreign. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great priority, to keep dating. It really is. I know my husband and I, especially when we had little ones, we would try to do, even if it was a night away, somehow, some way, just to reconnect. It's hard. So it's putting that and planning a year in advance and putting it on the calendar. So, yeah, I mean, we have a lot of things that we want to get done. So why do I want to talk about this? I mean, I've been doing this for 28 years, and my perspective now is different than your perspective is. And I can remember my things I wanted to get done were exactly what yours were, exactly. And the goals and the dreams of dating my husband and reconnecting and working on our marriage, that was real. But there was, so my dreams were the same, but now they're a little bit different. I've got a different perspective, and that's what I want you to see today and try to put yourself outside of this young age and put yourself into an old age. But before I do that, I want to give you just a real quick Bible lesson, short overview of a period of time in the Israelites, in the nation of Israel. And so we're going to go way back to the Old Testament, and we're going to just sit on when they were captive in Egypt. And they were captive. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And you know, in those 400 years, they were begging God to come help them. And finally, after 400 years, he did send Moses, the deliverer, to come back. And Moses has a big story, but we're just going to kind of skip over that a little bit. But Moses went back in with God's help, because Moses didn't want to do it. He's like, I don't have that ability, and they're not going to listen to me. But God told him, go into Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, do you think a Pharaoh would let his people, God's people, go? But God had a plan. And in that, Moses went to Pharaoh, let my people go. And God sent signs and miracles. He showed his mighty power. And the first one was turning the Nile into blood. And there were 10 plagues. It was the frogs and the locusts and the total darkness and a lot more. But he ended with the plague of the death of the firstborn. And at that point, Pharaoh said, go. The Egyptians said, go, leave. And so the nation of Israel left, and it was probably 1 million people left. And when they left, the Egyptians actually gave them gold, and I mean, they gave them stuff. They wanted them to leave. So they left, and as they were wandering in the desert, going on their way, Pharaoh changed his mind, as he did before, and he sent his army out. So as they're in the wilderness, the Israelites get to the Red Sea, and they know the army of Egypt's behind them, and there's nowhere to go, but God made a way for them. I mean, power, you've seen all the movies where he parted the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry ground. And he protected them by the cloud behind them. I mean, he protected them as they went. As they stepped onto shore, the army started flooding into the dry ground in the sea, and God just covered it. Like silence, they were gone. I mean, they saw God's power. And then as they were wandering in the wilderness, and during the day, God would be there with them, guiding them as a pillar of cloud. And by night, by a pillar of fire. Moses went up onto the top of Mount Sinai, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. But while Moses was gone, and not for very long, I mean, just think about what the Israelites had just seen. They had seen the power of God in so many different ways. But Moses was there 30, 40 days, and they went, oh, he's not coming back. So let's just create our own God. And out pops a golden calf, and they're worshiping it and all that. And God said, your people are down there going crazy. So Moses goes down off the mountain. He disciplines them. He breaks the tablets that God had given him, and goes back up, and God gives him the law again. So anyway, he comes back down the mountain, and they're walking because God had promised. He had promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob before, hundreds of years before, these are their ancestors, that he would give them the promised land, that he would make them a great people. They just hadn't seen that yet. So they are on their way to the promised land, and they send out spies just to kind of scope out what's going on. And the spies came back, and they're like, yeah, it's a great land. It's full of milk and honey, produce and cattle and all that. But then there were some spies that said, but they're giants and we can't do this. Like, we can't conquer them. So everybody listened to the 10 that said, this is impossible. And they didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb that said, with God, we can do this. He said we can do it. He'll go with us. But anyway, they didn't go. And God, they were punished. I mean, then they're like, no, God, we'll go. But no, he said, this generation will wander in the wilderness for 40 years. A generation is 40 years. So as they died off, God takes Moses up onto the top of a mountain, not into the promised land because he was being disciplined for something, but Moses got to see it from a distance. And as he comes down, well, no, he doesn't, but I'm getting the story. But Moses gave his leadership over to Joshua, and Joshua would be the one, when Moses died, to take the people into the promised land. So They did. They crossed over the Jordan, and you've heard about Jericho and walking around Jericho and all that. So God, through the Israelites, empowered them to conquer this land and these peoples. And they did. They conquered it. I mean, God gave them power to do that. But I want you to hear something that really hit me. They had God constantly. They saw huge signs, huge wonders. There was no doubt that God was capable. But Joshua died, and it's on your sheets, Judges 2:10. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Wow. I mean, let's think about that for a minute. How could they not know about the Lord or what he had done? Talk to me. Nobody told them. And it was probably, you know, you go in and it was easy. And when they conquered these places, there were vineyards established that they got to take over. There were fortified cities that they got to take over. So they had prosperity. You know, think about it. Do you really pray and beg God for his presence or his help when things are going really easy? I mean, I don't really. But when the rubber hits the road and it's hard, I sure do. So that verse, that generation after Joshua neither knew the Lord or what he had done, really hit me. So what I want you to do, if I can figure this out, is I want you to listen to this song. Just listen to it prayerfully. The words are really applicable to what we're doing. Listen to the song. You know, you can close your eyes, pray, ponder. You may want to write down some thoughts or prayers right in that small space. And then after that, I want you to answer the bottom question, which is, when you're 80 years old and your kids are adults with their own families, and you may even have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, what would your dreams be for yourself, your marriage, your kids, or for your whole entire family? Just write three of them. And try to just put yourself out. Because remember, the generation after Joshua, they didn't tell their kids about the Lord. So I want you to just listen to this song. So, and then once you answer that question again, I'll give you some time to answer that, and then you can talk about it around your tables. So the song is called Only Jesus by Casting Crowns. Okay. So, let's start again. Okay, give me some things that you wrote down when you are at the end of your life. What did you write down? Make it to 80, yeah. Anybody else? I love that. I'm going to just repeat it just so it's on here. Kids to be close. Tell me again, Emily. Wanting to serve Jesus and contribute to society. I agree. Carry on a Christian legacy. That's awesome. Anybody else? Passing on your faith, loving marriages, loving families. That's what I had. I mean, I think in general, that's really what we want, isn't it? It's hard to kind of get there when you're in the midst of it. So I just wanted y'all to see how, like right now, your goals are so, it's just getting through the day and getting through the year. And for a while, it's going to be like that. But if we're going to parent and have families that are to those ends, having close families, kids that love the Lord, then we need to keep that in our minds too, even in the dailiness. So the next verse that's on there is actually our women's ministry theme verse for this year, but it fits perfectly in with this. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, everything you were saying, will be given to you as well. So seek him first, love him first, and follow him first. So how do you do this? I mean, practically, I came up with three things that I think for me are foundational. One, it starts with your personal relationship with the Lord. To be a good mother starts with your personal relationship with Jesus. I mean, that's it. So let's answer those questions. Do you put Jesus first in your life? Because right now, where you are, I know I put my kids first. When I was at your age, my kids were, because they're screaming for your attention. So, but there's such a danger in that. So just in your spirit, just let there be a check. When I see that I'm putting my kids first, like they're becoming an idol to me. It's so easy to do. You're not the only one. I've done it so many times. They're taking the rightful place that Jesus deserves as king over your life. You're just letting them crawl onto that throne and pushing him off. So just constantly readjust. Do you love Jesus first? Ask yourself that. I know on a typical day, when I was where you are, I love my kids first because they were wanting the attention first. And I love my husband, and Jesus kind of came in third. So it is, how do I remember to keep him in his rightful place? And three, do you follow Jesus first? And I think that's really hard. Like, who am I following? Think about this. There's a lot of noise and people vying for your attention. There always has been, but I feel like it's amped up now. Y'all are in a different time than we were. I mean, you've got social media and just news 24/7. Everything's coming at you, wanting you to follow what they're saying. So how do you listen to the one that is the truth? Because Jesus is the truth. And the only way I can say you can do that, and this is my soapbox with my Bible study and anybody who will listen to me, is unless you're in God's word, you won't know his voice. Unless you're in God's word daily for the rest of your lives, you won't know his voice. And that's, I mean, it's his word. It's God talking to you. And so that would be my one thing. Every day. And right now, your being in the word of God may be, it may look different than what you want it to look. My mother-in-law years ago said, Vicki, get over the huge quiet times that you liked when you were not a mom. Just snack on God's word. So that's what I would do. I would just read a little. Read a verse and write the verse down. Oh, thank you. And write the verse down and just put it on your mirror. Let it go into you. But I would have a plan, and I have had a plan of reading God's word. I don't know how long, because I'm one that likes to check the box. And so I just check the box. That's just what I like to do because I don't want to miss a day. And so I have Bible reading plans that I do every year through the word, and not just the New Testament. The Old Testament is rich. So I'm just saying, this will be your measuring line and your foundation for anything that's coming at you. This is the plumb line measured against God's word, because it's truth. Because in this world, there is truth. It's right here. So first things first. So number one, your relationship with the Lord, your personal relationship is number one. Number two, you have to model this for your kids. I mean, let's be honest. You hear a lot of Christians who talk the good talk, but we get a really bad rap because a lot of them don't walk the walk. So you've got to model your relationship to Jesus Christ in front of your kids. I mean, in the song, I wrote down two phrases. It said, did I live the truth? And another one is my life proof? So our life should be a living proof of Jesus Christ. So how do you do this? I mean, in your quiet time, whenever you have time with the Lord, teach your little ones, hey, mommy needs just a few minutes by herself. because she wants to meet with Jesus right now, and she needs to listen to him, because I'm going to read the Bible, and that's how he talks to me, and I'm going to talk to him, I'm going to pray. And you're modeling it for them, because maybe you create a space beside you, or, you know, a little bit away, with some books that they can do, and they can just start seeing that this is just a regular part of life. And then don't separate. Don't be the church lady on Sunday and live the rest of your life different than what you do on Sunday. This has to permeate everything you are. So model it to your kids. Absolutely model it. Because we're sinful. They're going to see us sinning. And when they see us sinning, ask for forgiveness. Let them see that you're remorseful. So model it for your kids. So it starts with your relationship, and then you model it for your kids, and then you trust God with your children. You literally, every day somebody taught me how to do this. I open my hands, because every day I want control, and I grab control, and I hold on tight to the control I think I have with my children. And every day, sometimes many times a day, I just have to go, okay, open your hands, give them back to God. Just open your hands, pry my fingers loose. That's hard. There are some times where I'm like, here they are. But you've just got to surrender them to him, because God loves them infinitely more than you do. He created them. He knows how they work, and he has great plans for them. So those are just three things that for me are foundational. So again, your relationship with the Lord, modeling it, and then trusting him with your kids. But let's go to a little bit of practical stuff. I don't have a lot left that I use with my children, but there are four things. These are practical things. You've got two of the handouts on the table. One of them is, let me get it onto the screen. In this house, 22 values in this house. Somebody gave me, I went to a talk years ago, I cannot credit who did this for us, but talked about just creating values in this house for your family. So I took what I got, and then my husband Peyton and I just reworded probably some of it to fit our home. I mean, you can see it. I'm not going to read through all of it. We obey our Lord Jesus Christ. We love, honor, and pray for one another. We tell the truth. We consider one another's interest ahead of our own. We speak quietly and respectfully. And just on and on. The last one was, we understand that no matter what happens, God, Mom, and Dad will always love me. I mean, it talks about forgiving one another. So what we did, I am sure, but I can't remember, I'm sure we talked about this. And then what we did is they each had lockers. So you can see the masking tape on it. I just pulled this. They're still in their lockers. I went and pulled it out of the locker and copied it. So we put them in their lockers. They would see that every day when they were getting their stuff to go to school or taking their shoes off. And then we put them in their closets. And when I started preparing for this talk, my oldest son came home with his girlfriend, and that was only the second time that she had come into the house. And he was like, Mom, where's that thing? And there was just something in me that knew he was looking for this. He wanted to show her this. And I was like, okay, that's confirmation right there. Okay. They did read it. That's kind of cool. So that's just something, if you want to use this, go for it. I mean, it wasn't something that we pounded into their head. We just put it, we talked about it, and then we put it in their rooms or in their lockers, and they saw it. Another one that I used for years, and again, I was at another mom's thing. I can't tell you where. I do know it was from familylife.com, and I went searching because this stayed in my Bible for years. And then, of course, I took it out and filed it, and I can't find it. But I did find it again on familylife.com. When I used this praying for your kids, it did not have it broken up into days. I actually like that it has it broken up into days.
But it's exactly what I had. Ask God to place a protective, solid hedge around your children so that Satan cannot reach in and lead them into temptation, and so they will be safe from harm. I'm not going to read all of them, but pray that your children would use godly wisdom in selecting friends and peers that will make a positive difference in their lives. Ask God to give each child a discernment of people as well as knowing the difference between right and wrong. Pray that your children would stay pure in their thoughts and deeds. I mean, a lot of this applies now, but it really applies as they get older. Pray that they will be caught if they wander into cheating, lies, or mischief. I mean, we really don't like it when they're caught by other people or us, but wouldn't it be better for them to be caught early before they really get into trouble? Praying for, you know, their school activities, and that they'll be motivated to do the best that they are capable of doing. Y'all have to understand that. I mean, not all of our kids are going to be capable of being A-plus students, but you'll learn what they're capable of doing, and you pray that they'll be, you know, that God will allow them to do what they're capable. My favorite, pray for the spouse, each child, and I actually overheard somebody say this a minute ago, pray for the spouse each child will marry. I'm going to cry because she's right here. And God answer my prayers. Seriously, pray for your children's spouses now that they will be come from godly homes and have an appetite to live the spiritual truth they've learned. Pray also that their goals and purpose will be the same as your own children and their future homes would be godly. That's huge, because my prayer is that generations of this Peyton Day family will know the Lord, generations and generations. And then God, you know, ask God to help them live their lives for him, and that he will use them as a testimony and witness for his glory. Pray that they'll be grown to full spiritual maturity. So this was huge for me. I use this, and I still do, but to a lesser extent. But that's another one of my practical takeaways. Another is, I'm watching my time. As our children were little, we just, you know, you start observing them and you see their bent or what their needs are, where they're weak or where they're strong. And so we gave them, my husband specifically gave them life verses, and he had these made for them. And they were each different. I just picked up one that I could find in one of their rooms that was left behind at Zach's. So anyway, this one was the anxiety, Philippians 4:6-7. And I don't remember what version, but I'm assuming it's the Message, the way it's written. Don't worry about anything. I mean, this was when he was a little kid. And it was in his room and he could see it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. So watch your kids. Give them a life verse. You kind of know what they need. So start searching for that as you're observing them. And then the one last practical I want to give, and this just happened. They were little. I don't remember how little. Someone had passed away, and so we were talking about death, and we knew that that person who had passed away was with Jesus in heaven. And we were just talking about it, and for a child, they're scared that you're going to die. And Peyton and I both said, we're going to heaven. You know, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven. And I mean, at that point, that's all that they could understand. And we said, if something happens to us, we're going to be there. We're going to be in heaven and we'll be waiting. And so we all came up as a family with be there. That was our family thing. If anything happens to us, you be there. I don't know. I just wanted to share that. So that was our thing. But those are just a few things that I've done. But you're going to hear so much more through this year from other moms who are going to come and talk to you about their experiences and their wisdom and just kind of just flesh out everything that you've heard today. But don't forget, I mean, if you want to, you know, your dream is to have that close family. Your dream is to have your children know the Lord and walk with them all the days of their life. Then you've got to start now. And it starts with you and your relationship with the Lord and you modeling it for them and you trusting God with them. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will give us strength to walk your way every day, God. Let our life be proof that you live in us. May our kids see it. May they desire you, Lord. Lord, I pray for a hunger and a thirst for your word for these women. And I pray that that will just flow over into their families. And Lord, I pray that you just raise up generations of children and families that know you and walk with you. And Lord, I pray that your kingdom will be built starting here and now in this group. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Real quick, one announcement. Melissa Thorson and Polly Pope are speaking next week on how to spiritually feed yourselves in order for you to feed your kids. But y'all enjoy, sit, talk, and just don't forget to get your kids in a few minutes.